Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome to Game Over Vancouver on a night where the Vancouver Canucks win their third straight game, sweeping the states of New York and New Jersey. I actually thought New Jersey is part of New York, but they sweep the northeastern states of the, by winning by a score of 5-2. Bo Horvat, not a factor. All of our defensemen, big factor. Lotta Line, big factor. So much to talk about. And with this win at the halfway point of the season, the Canucks are now 27 wins in their first 41 games. They're 27-11-3. And the last time the Canucks had 27 wins halfway through a season, 2010-2011. And we know that's the year they went to win to game seven of the Stanley Cup Finals. So much to break down. I have an awesome guest that I've been looking forward to collaborating with. He is going to help me break this down as well. But before I bring him on the screen, a reminder to all of you. Well, firstly, my name is Clay Emo. I'm Canuck Clay here on YouTube and on X. I have my own channel. You're welcome to follow me there. But more importantly, follow SDPN. Hit the subscribe button if you're not subscribed already. We're at 99,600 subscribers. So we're within 400 of hitting 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is awesome. We do these shows for every single Canadian team, every single Canadian market, every single post-game show. So hit the subscribe button and hit the notification button so you get notified of when we go live. Also, you can press the like button as well. Hit the like buttons and show your appreciation, not for me, but for the work that people at SDPN do. Like the fact that the Canucks won, like the fact that they're stretching their lead atop the Pacific Division. Now, as always, this is what we're going to do. The first segment, we're going to break down the game. The second segment, we're going to talk more of a big picture conversation about where Vancouver is right now. And then the third segment, I'll go to you for all of your questions and send your questions to our guests. So you're welcome to get active in the chat section, engage with each other there. I will pop in there once in a blue moon, but mostly I will, I'll save all your questions for the last segment of the show. So let's get to our guest. He is an up and coming YouTuber, a shining star in the Canucks YouTube space. I've had a chance to meet him a couple times. I figure if we lived in the same town, we'd be best friends. I really believe that. But I want you to support him, and I thought it'd be a great way to bring him on, talk a bit more about him, a bit of himself, but more importantly, his love for this team and what he thinks about our chances this season. So please welcome my good friend, who I've met only once, Rev Trev Kempner Canucks. Hello, Trev. How are you?
Hey, Clay, thanks for having me here. And let's go. We won tonight again. This is so exciting. What a time to be a Vancouver Canucks fan. I am stoked. I don't know if you know that, but I'm pretty passionate about this team.
No, I can tell. And we want it. We want more passionate, good-looking Canucks fans around here. Always have room for that. Before we get into this game, Trev, tell everyone a little quickly a bit about you, and definitely spend a few minutes or a couple minutes talking about your channel, what you do on your YouTube channel.
Yeah, so I love making YouTube content. Well, actually, Canuck content is actually what I like making, that is passionate, realistic, and honest. And there's times where I make content and you might not agree with me, and I'm okay with that. I'm totally fine that people disagree, but you have to have reasons why. You can't just say, you know, the Canucks suck or this guy's terrible. You got to have reasons why. I love to have dialogue. I love live streaming. I love the conversation. I love when someone posts on one of my videos, I post back. And I just love the conversation of talking about our Canucks. So am I supposed to plug myself right now? Is that what you said?
Oh, you might as well. You already started, so okay. Keep going. No.
Listen, you can get me on Kempner Canucks. That's my last name. Kempner Canucks. It rhymes. Kempner Canucks. And I'm Rev Trev because it rhymes. And that's where you can find me on X, on Facebook, on Instagram, and on YouTube. So
awesome. So Kempner Canucks, find them everywhere, but especially here on YouTube. Now, more than a video a day, live streams, reactions. Trev's got it covered. And I hinted, Trev, that we're not in the same city. Otherwise, we would be best friends, always hanging out, you know, two good-looking guys. I'm in Vancouver. If you care to share, you don't have to give your address, but whereabouts do you live?
Yeah, could you imagine? Here's my pin location. I live in Nanaimo on beautiful Vancouver Island. I love it here. I love this city. I love this island. And I love being close to the mainland so I can go to a Canucks game every once in a while. So
love it. Love it. And I know you got to the game earlier this year. Are you going to one more? Do you have one At least one more.
I don't have any planned yet. Okay. I'm waiting for my friend Clay to give me free tickets. I'm just kidding. No, I was trying to get tickets for January 22nd with the Chicago Blackhawks. Glad I didn't get those because that's pretty disappointing. Feel really bad for Connor and his fractured jaw. Mm. But I'm not sure what game I'm going to get to next. I was so pumped to go to the Tampa Bay Lightning game. What a game. All the stars, all the future Hall of Famers. It was absolutely fantastic.
Awesome. Well, I don't know how many Hall of Famers were, future Hall of Famers were in this game, at least on the other side. But coming into this game, Trev, without knowing now that what we know, that the Canucks won 5-2, we knew that DeSmith was going to start. We knew that a bit of a surprise to me that they inserted Juleson for Cole. Cole is not injured even, but rather just a chance to rotate 7 healthy defensemen. What were your thoughts coming in this game, coming off a back-to-back and a very emotional win over the Rangers last night? What were your expectations?
Yeah, no, you know what's funny is because I produce realistic content, I'm not always picking that our team wins. Mm. And that's the challenge that I have been facing with, you know, just with sports in general. And maybe this is why people like, if you're looking for a biased take, I'm not your guy.
Yeah, I'm your guy.
Well, I mean, you don't think we're going to win 82 games in a row, right? Like, you know, we're going to lose. And so I do monthly predictions, right? And so the last few months, I've been very optimistic. And sometimes the Canucks have exceeded my expectations. But in this game, in fact, I thought we were going to beat the New Jersey Devils. And then we were going to lose to the Rangers. And then I said we were going to... I was going to blow everyone's minds that the Islanders were going to somehow find a way to scrap and beat us too, and that we were going to have an overtime loss against Pittsburgh.
Right.
You know
right.
what? I love it when I'm wrong and the Canucks prove me wrong because I don't know what I even how to predict anymore. These guys are so good. They are so good, Clay, and they're so fun to watch. I mean, they are totally blowing our minds. For example, tonight, 3 goals by defenseman. Are yep. you kidding me? When's the last time that happened? 19s never?
Well, I'll give you your props, Trev, because I do watch your videos. I watch your prediction videos. And so far for the month of October, November, December, you've really only been off by 1 or 2 points, not 5 points, 6 points. In 14, 15 games a month, and you're nailing the predictions by 1 or 2. In all seriousness, I always predict 4-2 Canucks. So technically, I have predicted 41 wins because I got to get my score prediction right. So I was almost there tonight. So you mentioned the 3 goals. It starts off with Filip Hronek. Basically, am I a bad person, Trev, when I like it when we injure one of the other players and then we score while that player is writhing on the ice? Is that bad of me?
I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's bad. I just think it's kind of a weird way to celebrate.
Okay, so Casey Cizikas bravely tries to block one of Hronek's shots, takes it off the ankle. He is down on the ice. The Canucks move the puck around. It gets back to Hronek. Hronek puts it back past Sorokin for an early lead. What'd you think of that play?
You know what? I just love that Hronek didn't give up. Yeah. And he scores so rarely. Like, he's on pace to score the least amount of goals of his NHL career. And it's just nice to see him snipe one and get on the board and contribute offensively. We know that Quinn Hughes is the dynamic wonder on that line, on that pairing.
Yeah.
And so I'm okay with him not scoring as much, but boy, was it nice to see some hard work pay off.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I had a great point about the resiliency and the persistence on that play. And I shouldn't make fun. I hope Cizikas is okay. I know he tried to come back in the second and then had to stop. So we'll get an update on him, I'm sure, in the next couple of days. Then you mentioned Hughes and Hughes, Hronek's partner. This was an interesting play because Petey keeps it in at the line. I think they even mentioned some Islanders may have stopped. I even saw one guy put up his hand as if he's saying, hey, that's offside. But they keep it in. They get a good shot attempt, Besser. And then Hughes just kind of comes out of the corner and literally goes in the middle of all 5 Islanders defenders and puts it past Sorokin. What did you think of that goal?
Well, you know what's hilarious about that goal is like we've been seeing that a lot now. Yeah. Apparently, this is what he does. Not only does he work his magic with his edge work and his stick handling and keeping plays alive, but his shot has just turned into something that we didn't really expect. We were hoping when he first started that he would do this. When he scored that goal, friends were texting me, "Are you kidding me? He just destroyed the whole team." And it's a lot of fun to watch him just excel at this super high level, and it's not slowing down.
Yes, yes.
I just love the shot. I love the effort. I love everything about it. Because what he doesn't do is he'll skate around and then he comes back up and he keeps the play alive, or he keeps skating around the side and then snipes it from the left to the right. And it's like, wow, like it's just, I think we should just stop and just think, like, just be thankful that we have a player like that on our roster. I did a top 10 Canucks of all time video series, and one was defenseman. I put Quinn Hughes as the number one. Clay, you will be shocked how many people gave me grief because I put a current player as the number one. And I said, after this, his contract's done, he's going to be the number one. He's on pace to break all the records. And then now you watch him this year, you're like, there is no argument.
Right.
There is no argument. Like, our Alex Edler is our other guy. Like, why? Because he has more games played as a Vancouver Canuck? Who cares? This guy is a phenom.
Yeah.
I think he's the best player on our team.
Mm-hmm.
He's the most talented. He's incredible. If you're going to games, you have a treat every night by watching this guy play.
Yeah, and we use that saying, worth the price of admission alone, but he really is, isn't he? It's a joy to see. Speaking of a joy to see, how about Pettersson and Miller playing give and go, or keep away, or I'll pass to you back, or scratch my back, whatever they, what you want to call it, in tight, basically passing it through the crease in front of Sorokin for that third Vancouver Canucks goal.
Yeah, I mean, again, another thing of beauty, this line is rolling. How many goals they have? 9 in the last 3 games or 4 games? Like, the Lotto line back together, like, we knew they were going to be good, right? But when that tic-tac-toe passing happened, and I actually said to my wife, "Honey, you got to watch this." She's not a huge sport. Like, she loves live sporting events.
Right.
She doesn't like watching on TV very much. And I'm like, I made her watch it. I'm like, you've got to watch this. This is insane. How did he do this? How did they? Their skill level is very elite.
Yeah.
And they're all-star skill level. In fact, if you haven't voted yet, go vote. We are so close to getting every single Canuck on the roster. It's awesome. So definitely vote in Pettersson and Hughes and Brock Besser.
Yeah, no, it speaks to not only their skill level, Trev, but their confidence as well to go back and forth twice. Yeah, PD to Miller, back to PD, all in the span of 5 feet. 2 seconds to score that goal. Okay, well, we're not going to get shutouts all the time. So then the Islanders get one back on the power play. Yeah, I watched this a couple of times, Trev, and it was weird. The shape of our power play was kind of weird. I think it was it Zadorov who tried? Yeah, so
yeah, it was.
The first time he backed off and he basically gave Palmieri the shot, and Palmieri didn't take it. They reset, and then he rushes Palmieri, and Palmieri makes a very skilled move to Brock Nelson, and then of course DeSmith didn't have a chance. No biggie, a power play goal, you're not going to win them all, kind of thing.
No, and I did notice that too, where Zadorov moved back and shut it down.
Yep.
But it's like, I was looking at it and going, they're going to try it again.
Right.
They're going to try it again. And then all of a sudden he backed in and did the pass across. And I'm like, that was really disappointing, because I'm like, he knew it was coming. And I thought the Smith was going to get the shutout, so I was a little ticked off, because I just picked him up today and posted him in my league, because I had Logan Thompson as my other goalie, and he's out for tonight. And I'm like, I'm starting to Smith, because I the Canucks are on 2 on fire right now.
Yeah.
Even though I predicted they were going to lose tonight, I was like, no, I think I'm going to be wrong. I picked him up. But let's give the Islanders some credit, right?
Yep.
Like, that was beautiful.
Yep. And I think I've said this many times on my channel, Trev, it's one thing in all seriousness to expect the Canucks to win every game, or how come they can't dominate every period like that? There's another team of professionals out there too that are trying very hard to win. And yeah, okay, the Islanders, they didn't give up. I think their fans were getting a little restless, but it's not like they gave up. That just speaks more to how well the Canucks are playing, I think for sure. So Canucks get their 3-goal lead back, and this Bluger and Garland get the puck out of the zone. And when have you heard this? I find a streaking Tyler Myers down the right side, and he rips a 93 mile an hour shot past Sorokin. What were you thinking when you saw? I actually was washing dishes at the time, and I just heard my son Sean screaming. Like, he couldn't believe it. And this was 5 minutes after he was lambasting Myers for that giveaway that he did earlier in the period. Yes. What do you think about this?
Well, you know what? It actually reminded me of earlier on the season when he did the exact same thing. Was it against San Jose?
Yeah.
Anyways, he blasted when I'm like thinking, when I saw him do it against San Jose, I was like, how come he doesn't do this more often? And like, even tonight, when he did that, you're like, dude, shoot the puck more. But then normally when he shoots a puck, it's this wrist shot or this shot that's not very hard, or it just feels like it's different. But tonight, 93, are you kidding? That's awesome. So I was super excited to see him do it again.
Yeah.
And I thought, I was really impressed. I'm like, you know what? I was pumped for, again, kind of like the Hronek feel, but different. He gets so much hate, and he's been so much better this season. And I just like seeing him get rewarded. I was like super happy for him, not just for us as the Canucks, but for him personally, that he got that goal. And it was a nice one. It wasn't some ricochet for 14 people. It went in. It was a laser, and good for him.
And we'll take everyone, take them a peek behind the curtain. So Trev and I met at the second intermission to go make sure that our mic and our lights were working. Everything was working, Zoom connection. So Trev, I'm not sure if you heard this, but Dan Murphy actually interviewed Tyler Myers, and he told him that his shot was 93 miles an hour. And Tyler Myers just said, cool. Like, he was actually awestruck that he could shoot it that hard, at least on net.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Imagine being surprised at your own talent.
That's true. That's true.
I guess that's what happens to you and I every night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, people watch this. This is awesome.
Yeah. How can you measure this? Exactly. So we go in third period. It's 4-1. Then I think I'm going to get my prediction right. My season-long prediction of 4-2. Brock Nelson gets his second of the night. I don't know. To me, I saw it not like the Canucks played poor defense or they gave up on the play, but it was almost like a bit of a lazy play by Besser to get his stick in the lane. I guess he might say he was trying to block it, but I know dismiss reaction kind of, you either get in front of it or you don't touch the puck. And that actually changed course on DeSmith and went past him. And Nelson gets his second of the game.
Yeah, again, disappointed because I don't want them scoring on us. But I felt like that one was kind of a weird shot. It was just like, he just threw it on and he was shooting for that side. So I'm not saying he fluked out.
Yeah.
But I was surprised that one went in. It looked awkward to me more than really talented.
Sure.
But obviously it counts. And congratulations to the Islanders for scoring another goal. But just no way you're going to beat us tonight.
Yeah.
We just look like the better team.
Right? I agree. And Joshua, nice mitts there on that empty netter, making that one extra move to go back inside, I guess, to create a clearer shooting lane. And I know, I've watched your videos, I know how much you love this Joshua Blueger-Garland line.
I do love the line, but you know what? Full disclosure, honest take, I haven't been the biggest Dakota Joshua fan.
Oh.
And he's winning me over. Mm. The way he's playing now is what I was hoping he would become. But I felt like he was too invisible for too many games in the past. He didn't really make a difference. It's so, so fun watching him make a difference now. Not only scoring, but definitely hitting, being tough to play against. So I've been really enjoying watching that line, and I'm honestly in shock that line is clicking, because I thought it was going to be Suter, not Blueger, but when Suter went down. So that line, just what I love about that line, it's a playoff line.
Right.
I don't care what's happened in the regular season. That line's going to play well in the playoffs for us. So I'm pumped about that.
Yeah, and Garland, the good point. I mean, Garland was very noticeable, especially in the first period. I know they sort of graphically had three shots on goal in his first 4 minutes of ice time. So, Trev, before we move on to some bigger picture stuff, is there anything else about the game that we didn't touch on? I know we only went through the goals, otherwise we'd be here all night. But anything else you want to say about the game, good, bad, or ugly?
Yeah, so surprisingly, did you hear Horvat's name much tonight?
No, I did not.
And isn't that surprising? So I had a friend of mine message me today. Again, I don't know if your phone blows up during game day, but mine does.
Yeah, you have a lot of friends, apparently. You're very popular.
Oh, hey, man, everyone's my friend. So, I met a new guy on the street. He's my friend. he said, tonight's the night where Miller proves again that they made the right move. And I was like, you know what? It still matters. But man, Horvat just did nothing. And I saw, who was it? There was someone on Twitter who said, where were we going to replace the Bo Horvat goals?
Right.
And they posted like some of our secondary scoring guys in there. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of a far-fetched. But like, man, letting Horvat go, we have not missed. And I liked Horvat and I loved his grit. That was something that I was really surprised about tonight.
Yep, I agree. I agree on both points. The fact that we barely heard his name and management, they've shown they're not afraid to make tough decisions. That's why I think we'll get worry about it when we get there. But in the offseason, there's no way that we're going to sign all eight of our UFAs or whatever. And we're going to have to say bye to guys that we like. But I think we can worry about that in May, June, July. Okay, let's move past this game now. Thank you, Trev, for that good analysis. Let's step back now and kind of look at the bigger picture. And right now, the bigger picture is the Canucks are battling with Winnipeg for first overall in the West and first overall in the league. They're expanding their lead, especially with LA losing tonight. So in the Pacific Division. And I know you and I, we were kind of batting around when we were prepping for the show. The trade deadline is looms large on March the 8th. And who would have thought the Canucks would be buyers as opposed to sellers? Right. And I don't think, I think you and I agree that Rutherford's not going to, Alvin's not going to go crazy. They're too patient. They're too smart to do something that's going to harm the team for the next 3 to 5 years just to chase the cup. But you were talking about two or three guys that you think the Canucks should at least listen on. Enlighten us.
Well, I don't know. Okay. So yes and no. I don't know if we should listen on. There's three guys' names that are floating around.
Okay.
And so we'll start with the guy from Anaheim. I keep forgetting
his name. Frank Vetrano.
Vetrano. That's right. That's the guy, if we're going to make a move, that's the guy I want to get.
Right.
This guy can provide secondary scoring. I'm really happy with his play, even though with that trade today that Anaheim made, that was insane. They are going to be stacked. If those kids develop, they are going to be a team to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that player, and he's available. I just don't know how much he's going to cost. The other ones are Greenaway from the Buffalo Sabres. There's rumors that Kuzmenko is going to Buffalo for, and I think it was Drance's article on The Athletic that kind of started stirring that up. And then also, I don't know how I feel about that one. I feel like Greenaway, he's big. He reminds me of Dakota, but not the good Dakota. You know what I mean? Reminds me of the guy I was frustrated with. And then the third one is...
Oh, man, I'm Gensel.
Oh, Gritzel from Pittsburgh. That's right.
Right.
Which that one intrigues me a lot because, again, playoff guy, works extremely hard, has skill, isn't just good because he plays with Sidney Crosby, but he would provide a lot to our team. So those are the three names. Funny that I forgot two of the names. I'm the one who said, hey, let's do this. So if you think about those three guys, what do you think about, like, which ones intrigue you a lot?
Yeah, Vetrano is interesting because he's only 29. I'm looking, he's got a 3.65 cap hit for this season and next season. And I know his name came up on Sportsnet yesterday in the Canucks Rangers game. I have no clue. I don't have the stats in front. Do you know, is he having a really good season right now?
Yes, he is. Yeah. And he's scoring goals. In fact, he got selected as the player to go to the All-Star game, I believe, for his roster. So like, that's how good he's playing.
Okay. So that sounds good. Obviously Anaheim is, while they are in our division, they are not a contender this year. And, I'm just pulling up his stats right now. That's interesting. Vetrano. And what position does he play? He's a
right winger, I believe.
He's a right winger. Oh yeah, 28 and 39. That's pretty good. That's totally. That's 0.67 or whatever points per game. Interesting. So his career high is 41 points a game. So that's exactly half a point a game. And yeah, this year he's got 28 and 39. Okay. Fine. Sign me up. No, I mean, seriously.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, okay, but Clay, if you think about it, this is probably the part I have the hardest time at,
yep,
is how much is the cost?
Right.
Like, we're not going to get, I don't know if we're going to get rental prices. You know what I
Sure.
mean? Like, for example, a lot of people are saying we need Lindholm from Calgary. Well, what's that going to cost us?
Right.
And as much as I think he would be a great second line center for us, not only do I not want to give up the draft capital for him,
Yep.
but I don't want to, like, we're not going to re-sign him. And so, like, we can't afford, the reason why Calgary's not keeping him is they can't afford him.
Right.
Or he's how he doesn't want to stay either one. I mean, it might be a combination of both, right? So that's the problem with these deals, is I don't know. Like, if they're asking for a first rounder in return, I'm like, I'm out. I'm
Yep.
out. Because look at what our first rounders can turn into,
Yeah.
right? We
Yep.
should not be trading a first
I
rounder
agree.
unless you get JT Miller in return. Like, that's what you should be doing. And that's the only time I want to do that, right?
That's such a good point about Lindholm, because A, I heard he wants 9 million next year, which is crazy. Then look at our three most recent first and second round picks, all studs at the World Juniors,
Totally.
Lekkerimäki, Willander, and DPD. So I'm with you. I don't want to give up. So we know that you have to give up quality to get quality, and but do you want to mortgage that much for a guy who might not even re-sign here? So I'm with you. Greenway is interesting because he is whereas Vetrano makes 3.65 for this year, next year, Greenway only makes 3 million for this year, next year. So he's a little bit cheaper. You're right. He's more of a bottom six guy as a top six guy. And would you do need guys who can play heavy though in the playoffs for sure. That's interesting. I remember when we played for Minnesota. I haven't tracked him since he's gone to Buffalo. How's he been? I see 10 and 29. That's fine. That's fourth line,
Yeah,
fourth line
and
production.
that's probably the problem, right?
Yeah.
Is Greenway, this is the production that, even okay, let's if you look at his playoff production, he's in five games, 4 games, 7 games, 6 games. The most goals he scored in the playoffs is one, right? And it's like, so you're looking for the grit more than the production on the offense. And even in his career, you're looking at 32 goal, 32 points is the highest. Now, it was in only in 56 games in 2021. That's pretty impressive. But with Buffalo, it's like he got 4 goals in 17 games. And then this year, he's in 28, he's got 10 points, right? So it's just not good enough, in my opinion. Now, I think in that trade rumor, that's interesting is that it's the draft picks coming our way. Maybe that's the thing that, you got Greenway who can play some rough and tough playoff hockey. He's been there before, but it's like, what do we get in return? And we get the, if we traded Kuzmenko, which I do not want to trade Kuz. I think it's too early. I know Tocket for some reason doesn't like him, but 5.5 million off of the cap, that might come in handy. But I want to keep Kuz personally. I'm having a hard time with these ones that involve Kuz or our first round pick.
So what's interesting is that brings us to Jake Guentzel, who makes his money is closest to Kuzmenko. Guentzel is $6 million,
Yeah.
but expires at the end of the season. So $6 million, proven playoff performer, as you mentioned, especially when he broke in the league. He had those two back-to-back magical playoff runs with the Penguins, and then he's doing great this year. Wow. So he would look really good. He would look really good on our second line, especially if you split up the Lotto line down the road, and then wow, then now you have a bona fide top six for sure. How hard do you want them to pursue this, or is this more of a I've heard this, so I guess we should talk about it kind of thing?
Well, I do think I've heard this, we should talk about it, but I do think this one intrigues me a lot. The problem is most of these guys are 29 years old. And it's like, how long of a contract? If you're going to give them a contract, first of all, how much is it going to be? Second of all, how long is it going to be? That's the important piece. Now, some people say, well, 29 is still young, right? I mean, I wish I was 29, right?
Yeah, me too.
But in saying that, I'm not like, this is a guy that's like, he produces. Like, he is legitimately worth, if you're going to trade Kuzmenko, this is the kind of player you want in return. He's going to produce on our team, and I like his, if that's what we're going to do, if we're going to trade a guy who scored 39 points or 39 goals in the NHL, this is the kind of guy you want in return, because you know you're getting something good for him.
Great point. And I've said on my own show a few times with Kuzmenko, Yeah, I agree with you. You don't want to just give away a guy like that, because that's kind of the offense, a streaky kind of offensive player that you need in the playoffs to get hot. But I'm not convinced of Kuzmenko's defense. I'm looking at Gensel's numbers and in the playoffs, and granted, he had guys like Crosby, Malkin, Letang playing with them. Yeah, plus one, plus 10, minus three, plus one, minus six, plus one. So overall, a plus in the playoffs. So yeah. I don't know a lot about Gensel's defensive profile. I just know the guy can light up the net, or light up the lamp, so to speak. So fascinating to think about. So all those three guys, if you had to rank them, and I'm not saying that you're saying we're going to get these three guys. If you had to rank them in terms of viability and how much you want them, considering what you have to give up, all those things, how would you rank them as, man, this would be my wish list for the Canucks if it makes sense?
You're not going to like this, Clay. I wouldn't do any of them.
No, that's great. I'm fine with that.
But if I had to rank them, yep. I would probably go Getzel, Vetrano. Yeah. Why do I have a problem with that name?
It's Vetrano, a tough name.
Vetrano. Yeah. I like it. I love it because it's like so unique. Vetrano. I like him second, and of course Greenway third. And I don't think anyone's going to have Greenway number one on that list.
Right. So one other question, and then we'll talk about content creation for a second. We just mentioned three forwards, right? Do you think with Juulsen and Friedman as kind of number eight, is that enough for you, Trev, or do you want them to get at least one more guy to be just a tiny bit deeper?
I think it's a good question. Yeah. It never hurts to get depth.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I'm just not convinced that we're going to get someone better than Friedman.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the depth, like who are we going to get? Honestly, now if it's a Tanev, sure. Like that guy's a warrior. We know that. But again, cost. But I love what Juulsen's doing.
Yeah.
And there are so many people, so many Canucks fans who really are negative about Juulsen. I'm a big believer in this kid. Mm-hmm. And they're like, he's not an NHLer. This just in, he is. In fact, he's playing in the NHL right now. Yeah. He's playing at a high level. He's playing on the penalty kill. He looks good. He's tough. He hits. Like, what else do you want from a third pairing defenseman?
Yep.
And if there's an injury, I don't think you want to give him too many more minutes. But we have so much depth that it's like, I don't know if we need a guy. Like, what would Fabro cost us? Like, what would Tanev cost us? And it's like, as you can see, I'm very into the camp of like, I really like the team we put together.
Yeah.
If we can upgrade it so it's someone who's playing every night, who's had some playoff experience, okay. I'd consider that, but I don't know. I don't know, man.
You know what else I like about Noah Juulsen? $775,000.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can spend other money on getting a $4 or $5 million forward as opposed to a $5 million Tanev. So there's, or whatever he makes. So it's so fascinating. But yeah, I will be the first to admit that at the start of the season, I was like, we don't need this guy. Dump him for a seventh rounder, blah, blah, blah. People in my shows, even up until last night, were still saying, what can you get for him? Why trade him? We say, why would you trade him? This is exactly what you need in the playoffs. A rough and tough guy who can step in and not complain about if he's not playing every second game kind of thing.
Totally. Yeah, okay. I'm with you, but I was on the Juulsen train way before you. So I'm just thinking, I think we need to dive into that later on another day.
Yeah.
But he has impressed me even more than my expectations were for him.
Yeah. And it wasn't as much as we like Ian Cole. It wasn't a big drop off tonight. It really wasn't. So, yeah. Okay. One more question before we go to the people. Trev, and you and I were kind of joking about this, but one thing that's cool is we share our love for a passion for the team, and we share our passion for content creation, and we support each other. But you and I had an honest chat when we were getting ready for the show is whether you call it clickbait or the presumptuous videos or the titles or whatever. And you were telling me that it kind of goes hand in hand with trade videos, and some people gobble that up and they love it and they love creating it. And others say, well, I really don't want to speculate because, and I know the hockey guy and he's got the biggest channel of us all. He does not do trade speculation videos because that's his philosophy. So elaborate a little bit more. I'd love to hear what you have to say about this.
Yeah. So funny story. I read a on Twitter, you know, sometimes you get some really good trade rumors or trade ideas. I shouldn't even say rumors. They're just ideas that fans will make. And sometimes they're just like really cool. And you're like, yeah, I never thought of that. Right. And I like to think about that. We all do. We all love the trading aspect of hockey. I mean, trade deadline day is one of the best days in all of hockey. So I'm all in on that. But I have a hard time with the clickbait. So I saw this outlandish trade offer, and it was for Bedard, and we were giving up JT Miller, which a lot of people at that time was saying they wanted to trade JT. I was not one of those people. So I just for fun made a video on it. Okay. Clay, it's my highest producing video to this day. And so many people were angry, like, this would never happen. I'm like, I literally said in the video, this is never going to happen. I just thought it was interesting. What do you guys think? I just made it for fun. And so I think as a content creator, it's really hard not to fall into the temptation of views of that. Like, I don't want to be the guy who's doing trade rumors that are so unrealistic and so outlandish. I did that one for fun, but I want to be realistic in my content. I would rather. I think that's what Canucks fans really want. Do they want just like someone who's just making things up? And then basically what happens is when that happens, you get labeled as the guy who is outlandish. And then I think people stop watching you, or people just like, it's almost like they have itching ears. They're like, what's going on? I like to know, like, what's realistic? That's why even the three guys we talked about tonight, I'm like, okay, are these realistic? Let's talk about that. I'm okay with talking about rumor. I actually think they're not even like it. I don't know. I know that Drance has way more in than me. I am not a insider, right? But I'm telling you right now, I think I really appreciate people that say, here's a realistic trade offer. Let's talk about it instead of trying to get clickbait. Now, I don't know how to, maybe I'm not growing my channel. Maybe I should be doing that. I have something inside of me that says, passionate, but realistic and honest, you know? So I just can't do it. What about you, Clay?
Yeah, so interesting, really interesting topic to unpack because I hear where you're coming from. I also know local content creators who, whether it's clickbait or they're not afraid to put those type of videos out there. And I also know people across the country who I've collabed with before who do very similar things. And much like I wouldn't judge, and nor would you judge my intention or your intention, I guess I can't really judge their intention. And if that's what they derive joy out of and it's well researched, and if it's presented well, it's okay. And I think sometimes the onus is on the viewer as well to say, okay, this makes sense to me, or this doesn't make sense to me, and here's why. But I think I go in waves, to be honest with you, Trev. Sometimes I'm like, well, I maybe, I don't know for sure, but I think I would grow faster if I did this type of video. But there's also part of me that says, not that I'm selling my soul or that's a matter of integrity. It's just I have no interest in making that kind of video. And if it's at the sacrifice of some views, some subscribers, some revenue, whatever. So I agree with you what you say. I hear what you're saying. I agree with most of what you're saying. I also don't judge, nor do you. I know we're not judging other content creators. It's just the path that we want to forge. And I know other content creators that they don't do as much talking head as say you and me and Parker and others do. It's all highlight compilation, and it's them putting their commentary over highlight compilation. You don't even see their face, and their channels are doing really well because they're good storytellers. They're good. So everyone has a different MO, I guess, and everyone has a different dream, a full-time, part-time hobby, a couple bucks here and there, a community, whatever your priority is. That's awesome. I just know that there's a lot of space for Canucks content creators, but I have experienced the tension that you have articulated just now.
Yeah, and it's like I of course you want your YouTube channel or your social media to grow, but at the end of the day, I don't know if that's my only goal. I actually just really like connecting with the community. To me, it's like the Canuck fan base is so faithful. That is probably the thing that shocked me about making content, was I felt like the fandom was going to be huge and the ups and downs were going to be larger. Now, we always, every fan base has toxic people in it and biased people and middle of the round people and realistic people. I get it. But I've been blown away at how awesome our fan base has been.
Yeah.
And that's been, and maybe I want to keep it so that when I make content, like I love making content and I love it when people love our content.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when I'm like, oh, Canuck Clay has a new video out, I'm watching it.
Right.
Because I know you do quality stuff. I know that you're doing that. And I'm always in your streams. I'm jumping in there saying hi. And that's the kind of person I want to be as well, as someone that you want to click on. And you're like, okay, this guy's not going to be crazy. I mean, sure. He might be. I'm passionate. Some people tell me to slow down. They're like, hey, why don't you tell us how you really feel? Right. I'm like, I know. I'm really passionate. I get it.
Well, I like how you came in on fire at the start of this show. So thank you for sharing your heart, Trev. I appreciate it. That's what I appreciate about you. And that's why we are friends outside of this Canucks content creation world. Let's do this for the last 5 to 10 minutes. I'm going to throw it to all of you. We have over 100 people in here, which is awesome. Nice. Thank you. I like to think it's for us, but I think it's because the Canucks are playing so darn well. But we have a wonderful opportunity to pick the brain of Kempner Canucks for the next 5 to 10 minutes. So throw your questions in the chat right now, and I will throw them to Trevor. So Trev, first one is this from Fangirl. What would you prioritize? Okay, so make this answer quick if you don't mind, because it's not a priority, but I want to honor Fangirl. What would you prioritize in the off season for the Canucks? A top six forward or a right hand D? It's a good question, actually.
That's a good question. By the way, side note, Fangirl has some of the best questions in all of Vancouver. I have always been impressed with her stuff. She's really thought through on her questions.
Yep.
I love answering her questions. Well, I think we have players in both of those circumstances that we have in our system already that I do believe, like, maybe Vilander is going to be getting a shot to be on this team as a right-handed defenseman. Maybe Elias Pettersson is going, not 2.0. I don't even know what we're going to, how we're going to, is EPO2, as someone had it. I really like that one, right? maybe he's going to be the guy. So should we be going after free agents? Should we be going after a forward? I think, you know, Lekker Mäki.
Yep.
He looks like he's ready. I mean, what about Baines?
Yep.
And Abbotsford, like, we might have all the solutions in our system already.
Yeah.
I'm very interested to see even Podkolzin, for that matter.
Yes.
You know, like, these are guys that I'm like, last year there, you know, Höglander was down in Abbotsford. Yeah. Look at what he's doing now. So it all depends on who's available. Like, a lot of people say the free agent market right now is really incredible, but I think a lot of those guys are going to get re-signed by their teams.
Okay. No, that's fair. And sign your own guys is a little cheaper too. So by the way, someone's asking the score. The score is 5-2 for Vancouver tonight. I'm going to combine two questions into one because they asked the same sort of thing. So Lee says, are the Canucks all in this year? And Last Resort says, are the Canucks legitimate cup contenders? Have they proven it to you all? So your answer could be the same for both, but are they legitimate cup contenders in your eyes, Trevor? And if so, should or should they not go, quote, all in? I know we kind of touched on it already.
Yeah. So I don't think they're all in.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm shocked is that we're contenders.
Right.
Like, I thought we were a playoff team, that we were going to be that wild card. They have exceeded our expectations by a lot. So I think it's interesting the dynamics changing is, like, we're actually really good. And maybe if we do get a rental, that this is going to help us, because we're no longer okay with just making the playoffs.
Mm.
We want to win rounds.
Yep.
And once you start winning rounds, then you got to start thinking cup.
Right.
You got to start thinking cup. So I don't know if they're all in, because when I think of all in, tell me if I'm wrong, Clay, that means that we're going to trade a first round pick for something.
I agree with you. It means you do everything in your power to win this season and this season only. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Good. I got another good question. Where did it go? Here. Talk to me. We actually didn't touch on it. I love your thoughts on how long do you keep this lotto line together? If they keep scoring, keep them together and then break them up before the playoffs, and you know you have that in your back pocket, do you kind of don't get too all in with them right now because it might suffer the rest of the lineup a little bit? What's your thoughts on them?
Well, What I love is that this is a real question because, okay, so basically, who's got the better line, Edmonton or Vancouver?
If you're
It's
talking
a
about,
conversation now. It's a conversation, right? If they put Nugent-Hopkins with McDavid and Draisaitl, and you put together Pettersson and Brock and JT Miller, everyone's going to pick the Oilers, right? But I don't. They're proving right now that we're the best line in the league. Now, the reason why I like this, and this is barring injury,
Of
is because
course.
you have Suter playing on that next line. You've got Bluger, who's playing incredible, and then Amon is fine on the fourth line. There's nothing wrong with him there. As long as the center depth continues, I think you keep that line together. Because, nine goals in how many games here? Like three games? Are you kidding me? Like, you can't stop that. And I know that it's hard to sustain, but I'm believing in this line, and it's because we have guys like Suter and Bluger.
And Justin Credible, one of our favorite subscribers, says,
Love that guy.
McKinnon, Rantanen, and Nichushkin would like to have a word. They want to be nominated in that best line
Yeah,
conversation.
no, and that's true. I just know that our fan base loves to talk about Edmonton for some
Of
reason.
course, of course. And final one for you, Trev. The one thing that the Canucks hasn't gone well for the Canucks recently is their power play, actually, because sometimes they don't even get a chance or they
Yes.
get one chance. Tonight, they went 0 for 4. Too much talent. Not they can score on buckets in regular strength. Are you concerned about the power play? And if so, how would you fix it?
I am very concerned about power play, actually. That does concern me a lot. But then we're scoring 5-on-5. So if you score on the power play, everyone's like, well, they only score on the power play. And then you score 5-on-5 and you're on there. Well, they don't score on the power. Like, are you kidding me? Like, there's no way winning here. But I am concerned. I think we're a little bit predictable at this stage. I'm still in shock that we're not passing it to the right-hand side and Pettersson's just winding up and teeing off. He stopped doing that this year. So I think he needs to continue to do that. Not every play, but I do like it when Miller gets it at the top and skates down to the left and gets a shot off. I love that creativity. I felt like tonight with Brock, when he got into the middle, he was way too far and now he's shooting and it was too weak. He has to be closer. He has to be closer to get that goal in. But I feel like they're starting to change, and I feel like a bunch of power play goals are coming. I do like how we're switching it up. We're not as predictable as we were. I think it's improving.
Well, I have a theory. I say you put Hronek out there instead of Kuzmenko. You
Okay.
rush all four guys to the crease, one drop pass, let Hronek injure whatever forward is trying to block the shot. Now you're on a 5-on-3, and then you're gonna score. So that's my
Well, it
strategy.
worked tonight.
Exactly. Oh, Trev, this has been awesome. I want to get you on again before the end of the season. So what? Let's do this. I'll throw to you. Let you tell everyone one more time where to find you. I'll wrap up the show and then we'll go from there. So once again, Rev Trev, where can everyone find your good work?
Yeah, well, first of all, hit the like and subscribe for SDPN, okay? For allowing us to do this. Please do hit that. It does help. And hit like and subscribe, Clay. Canuck Clay does great content, but my content is Kempner Canucks on Facebook, Twitter, or X, YouTube, and of course, now on Instagram.
Awesome. So this is Rev Trev, but his handle is Kempner Canucks. So make
That's
sure
right.
you check him out. On your way out, hit the subscribe button, SDPN, like the video. And then as I'm trying to rack my brain, I'm trying to figure out who is doing our next show for us. The Canucks will set up the next game. They play in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah,
On
four
Thursday night,
o'clock, I believe.
4 o'clock start. So the same as yesterday. The Canucks are now 3-1 on this road trip after losing that stinker in St. Louis, but now they are back on track. And I'm just looking right now. You will have running Thursday show. It is Sam Chang. So join Sam,
Nice.
on the next Game Over show after the Canucks versus the Penguins. But until next time, that's Rev Trev. I am Canuck Clay. Thank you for being here. Keep on cheering on this team. Again, reaching heights not met since 12 seasons ago, 13 seasons ago, the 2010-2011 team. As always, stay safe, stay healthy, take care of yourselves, and take care of each other. And Trev, give him one big one. One thing that we're always cheering on the boys. Trev, give it to him.
Yeah, it's like, let's go, Canucks! Let's go! Go, Canucks, go!
Perfect. Take care, everyone, and good night.